Good morning.
Good morning.
Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We will read verses 9 through 18. Second Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpas at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, hallowed be your name. We ask for your help in glorifying you. Father, I ask for your help in glorifying you through your word, through your message. And my own flesh stands in the way. And the things that I want that aren't from you stand in the way. So I ask that you set them aside, that you remove them. Even flat tires this morning would seem to stand in the way, but you've provided your assistance, and I thank you. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. You've been so good to us. And I think of how you've stood by your children even as you turned your back on your son on the cross. What he did to provide what we have. How great is your love. Father, make me small and help me speak boldly what you have. Remove anything that I have. Open ears, open hearts. And as I open my mouth, may your words come out. In Jesus' name, amen. We are at the end of Paul's exhortation. And he starts with these instructions, this end of watch, these shift notes to the oncoming shift. I'm heading out, you're coming in. This is what's going on. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love, agape, with this present world, this current age, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens, possibly one of the disciples sent out two by two, has gone to Galatia. Titus, the true son in faith, has gone to Dalmatia. Luke, the beloved physician, he alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. I want him this time, for he is very useful to me for ministry. He's become a useful vessel. And he was useful. It said that Mark followed Peter into the Mamertine prison, where it said that this is where Paul's writing from, where he penned the Gospel of Mark. Tychicus, the faithful envoy, I have sent to Ephesus, possibly bringing this very letter. When you come, bring the cloak, anticipating the cold winter coming. I left that one with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Possibly the pattern of sound words from other faithful men, and possibly the scriptures themselves. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, Timothy. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. In Paul's mind, for his end of watch notes, is the mission goes on. He's thinking about people, and the word is a comfort to him. Then he turns, and this is a letter, so it reads like a letter. Then he turns to his first defense. There's the first act, and then there's the second act. There's the arraignment, and then there's the main event. And we're somewhere in between this, it would seem. At his first defense, no one came to stand by Paul. No one was there to advocate. You had all the accusers and none of the advocates. And he emphasizes this. He says, but all deserted me. At my first defense, nobody came to stand by me. And on top of that, all deserted me. It's the same word that we have used for Demas, who deserted Paul. Abandoned, forsook. And Paul's response to that, may it not be charged against them. And think of the power of forgiveness. Think of the power of encouragement. Think of the power of not being bitter. I think of Mark that we just read about, and now he's become useful. This young man who wasn't welcome to come along on the mission now is like being enlisted to come from a distance to come to Paul. He has a mission. May it not be charged against them. I think of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. How much Paul has been forgiven. How much each one of us has been forgiven. At the end of Matthew 18, you can read about that if you want to. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. And that would appear to be Paul here. There's a but. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me. No one came to advocate for me. Everyone deserted me. Everyone forsook me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me closer than a brother and strengthened me. How many times in our lives do we have that blessed interruption, but God? You have all these things going on, all these trials, all these accusations even, but God. But God. But God stood by me and strengthened me. The word strengthened me there means infused with power, where we get the word dynamite. The same word used in a few chapters before, 2 Timothy 2:1. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, after Paul talks about being able to be comfortable in any situation, good or bad, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. And why don't you go ahead and turn there? Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Those accusers of Paul, the ones that turned back, the ones that turned in, the ones who were turned over, that's not who the fight's against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. And there's a purpose in it. So that. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me, the message, the gospel might be fully proclaimed. The same message that Alex opposed is going to be proclaimed. And all the Gentiles might hear it, all strata, from the prison guards to Caesar himself, are going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is fulfilling his ministry. Acts 9:16, Ananias, he had a question. He's like, are you sure you want me to go get this guy, Paul? I heard about him. He's persecuting the church. And the Lord says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings. And that he's going to suffer too. Paul is going to suffer for my name's sake. That's what Jesus says. So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. This is probably a proverb. Proverbs 20, verse 2, the lion is compared to a king. Proverbs 28, 15, compared to a wicked ruler. So it seems applicable here to Nero. In Jeremiah 2:30, the prophets are devoured like as by a lion. And of course we have Daniel in the lion's den. But the one that I want to go to is in 1 Peter chapter 5. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5? First Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. It reads similar, doesn't it? You can hear the same spirit speaking through Peter that is speaking through Paul here to us. And Paul says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. I think this is Paul's way of saying, don't worry about me, Timothy. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Bring me safely, sozo, save. The same word Gabriel to Mary, that he will save his people. The same word the disciples cried out when the storm came on the Sea of Galilee, save us, Lord. And Peter, when he was sinking, as he was walking on water, Lord, save me. It's the same word the crowd jeered at Jesus Christ. Save yourself. Jesus saves. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, great. Jesus saves. What does that mean? What does that do? Where does that point? What's the higher calling all about? Jesus saves. We are called with a holy calling. So what? Why? What is the purpose of it? To him be the glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about him. It all points to him. Jesus saves. Jesus builds. And to God be the glory. Family, beloved, don't waste your salvation. Don't waste it. Paul goes through all of this. I mean, our problems are gold-plated when you read what Paul's gone through. And he does that as he imitates Christ. The more we look like Christ, the more we can be expected to be treated like Christ. And praise God. He's glorified in that. Don't be so quick to seek comfort. Seek God. Don't be so quick to seek healing. Seek God. I would say even don't be so quick to seek answers. Seek God. He has a time. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He's high above us. He sees the whole battlefield. Jesus saves people. And the church, this beautiful building, is just a building. He dwells right here in us. And we're the bride. And we are to be pure and holy to bring him glory. All those things Paul's going through, they go away. It's a season. It passes. But to him be the glory, and don't miss this part, forever and ever. The emphasis added onto that. That's the message. That's what God put on my heart. I ask that it does the work that he intended in each of your hearts. I'll close in prayer and then a benediction. Heavenly Father, your word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is living and active. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word will accomplish what you intend for it to accomplish, and we ask for that. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for turning your back on your son to be sin in our place, so that he can stand by us. May it be for your glory and not ours. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I've kind of gone back and forth on this, but we're going to go to Revelation chapter 19. For the benediction. Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to skip around a little bit. If your Bible has the singing parts, those are the parts I'm going to read. So kind of halfway through verse 1, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. Go down to verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, that's us, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed.